everyone. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, and I'm happy to have everybody here tonight. We have another special guest, and I'll bring her in a few minutes. But first, I want to tell everybody that the magazine is up. MysticLivingToday.com is up. And if you have anything to send for the April issue, just send it off to me. It doesn't matter how early I get it. I have a folder, and I have everything there from all the years I've done this. The thing is so big. You just send it to Stars with a Z, C-A-S-T, like in Tom, at MysticLivingToday.com. Or you can go to MysticLivingToday.com, and you can see where you can contact me, send me information, how you go about doing it. And also, I want to tell you about my other site. Everybody knows I have Stars with a Z, Psychics.com. That's over 7 years old right now. That's one of my passions, too, just like the magazine. And beautiful people there. I'm adding new people here and there. Not a whole lot. You'll get some of the same ones if you go back and you've seen, oh, so-and-so is still there. Yes, they are. And it's a great group. I interview all of them myself personally. And you can be sure that you'll get treated with the best. And, of course, you know, I do the customer service. Now, can you imagine anybody else doing customer service but me? But I do a good job because I love people and I love all of you coming in to listen tonight. And right now I'm going to bring in my special guest, and her name is Marcia Martin. How are you, Marcia, tonight?
I'm very fine. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
Oh, it's such an honor to have you. I want to tell our audience, Marcia has done so much. I mean, I have this huge sheet on her. She is... you know, you've been the center of personal development field since the early 70s. You've done so much. You're one of the original pioneers of the human potential movement, and you worked closely with Werner Erhard to create the training. What was it like to work with him?
Werner is a genius. I was one of the original founding members of EST, which then became Landmark, which is the largest personal development educational program that's ever been created in the whole world. And when I came, there was five of us that were really the key people that helped him put everything together. And we had our first seminar, and there was 20 people in the seminar. And he made me the senior vice president. And over the next 10 years, we had millions of graduates around the world and thousands of centers. And he was an amazing genius. He taught me so much. I was a young girl in my early 20s, and I learned so much from him about what it means to be responsible and what it means to produce a result, what it means to keep a promise, what it means to create something and cause your circumstance instead of being at the effect of your circumstances or being a victim. It was an amazing ride. 10 years of just incredible learning and adventure.
Did he just turn 83 or is he 83 right now?
I am 72. I don't know why you would want me to say that in public on radio.
No, Werner.
But, yes,
Werner,
he's in his 80s now. Yeah,
I didn't mean to ask you. No, I meant about him.
Yeah, I think he's around 85 now.
Wow. Now, is he still working?
I see him maybe once every year to 2 years in his home in London, and he's doing amazing work in academia and putting things together for so that people understand the dynamics of leadership and it can be passed on. And he leads seminars still as guest speaker, of course, mentors people. So, yes, he's very brilliant.
He's amazing, Eddie. And I can say this for myself. When you have a passion for something and you have something that you really love to do, and if you've done good things all of your life, you'll be able to keep going. That's what I tell myself. I mean, that's how I feel. You probably feel the same way. This is your passion. This is what you do. And I'm going to tell everybody to go to your site. They really should bring it up right now. It's called Marcia, M-A-R-C-I-A, Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N.com. Go to her site and look at her picture and see her beautiful smile. And we were talking about this before we went on the air because she's just got this smile about her that's just totally awesome and inviting. And now you also worked with
Dan
Canfield.
You know what's interesting is those pictures are only 3 or 4. Maybe 3.5 years old. And when we took
well,
the pictures, the thank you. When we took the pictures, the photographer said, "I can't believe this. We don't even have to Photoshop anything. It's just amazing." So they're just raw pictures. There they are.
You don't know when you look at somebody, and you know, it's like even an actor, an actress, or whatever. You don't know what's over those lenses, even if they're filming live. You don't know. I mean,
yeah,
I remember
sure.
a story about Elizabeth Taylor. They had a thing over the camera because she didn't want anything showing. I mean, and they can filter everything. I mean, it's amazing. Can you imagine what they do now? I mean, I don't even know, but I read that someplace. I just loved her. But anyways, yeah, she
well, I
she
met
didn't want
Elizabeth
anything
Taylor
showing.
Once and went backstage
really?
And had a wonderful conversation with her, and she was an amazing woman.
I she was one of my favorites. She and Natalie Wood was the other
mm-hmm.
one. I mean, they were just my favorites, you know. And I think people are listening and thinking, yeah, I had my favorite and I got my favorite, but it's true. It really is. Now, you worked with Jack Canfield. Everybody knows who he is. He's the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul book series. Now, how did you worked alongside him? What did you do?
Well, Jack Canfield and I have been great, great friends for probably 30 years. We met at an organization which was in Los Angeles that had breakfast meetings at 7 in the morning. And I heard about him, and he heard about me, and we'd been talked to about each other for so long. So when we finally met, we were so excited. We went to the Hamburger Hamlet in Brentwood, and we thought we would have dinner, and we ended up staying there for about, I don't know, 8 hours talking. And we became very best friends for years.
Oh, yes.
And he brought me into his programs, and I was one of the facilitators with him. I led the Breakthrough to Success with him and his Presentation Skills Workshop. And then he and I created an organization called the Transformational Leadership Council, TLC, in, I think it was 2004. So I was senior vice president of that organization and the program director, and I helped. I was in charge of it, kind of like this. I was actually, he made me the CEO, and I was the CEO for probably its first 7 to 8 years of inception, and we created that. And it's an organization of transformational leaders and authors and trainers and teachers that come from all over the world and are very well known in their organizations, in their domain of expertise. And we brought them together so that we could have a few meetings a year. We TLC meets twice a year, and it allows those kinds of people to have an association of comrades, so to speak, that are friends. We can learn from each other and connect and get re-energized and go out into the world to do our work better.
You get ideas from other people
have
immediately.
Have fun and
right.
have dinners and go whale watching and all sorts of fun things. Yeah. So Jack and I are
now,
really, really great friends.
Did you? Had he already written his first Chicken Soup for the Soul at that time?
No. I knew him long before Chicken Soup.
Okay. Now is he still writing?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Good. So tell me about this transformational leadership kind of thing. I mean, I've interviewed a lot of people, and I know some of the people that are listening are probably thinking, well, what is it? What is it? I mean, is it seminars that you put on? You do the training, right? You do a training program with it, but what does it consist of?
Well, we all lead trainings in one form or another. We are called the transformational leaders of there's an industry that's coaches, executive coaches, life coaches, transformational trainers, teachers, mentors. So it's really the human potential kind of development people, and that's an industry now that has, you know, thousands of people who have businesses. And one of the things that Jack and I did was we created the Transformational Leadership Council, which was an association of these kinds of leaders. And then from that, we created, along with some other people, the Association for Transformational Leaders, ATL, and that's in Southern California, and there's some in other parts. There's one in New York. And then we went on, and then I created another organization with Kitty Waters, who was another teacher. We created an organization called the Network for Transformational Leaders in Europe. So all of those organizations are really kind of like associations where people of like-minded kind of expertise and experiences and who do the same kinds of things can come together and learn from each other.
And that's the best thing to do. You get so many ideas from things like that.
Yeah, of course.
You do anyway,
well, and you have fun.
You know,
it's a way to have a community.
Because somebody's always doing something different than you, and then it'll give you a little idea, and you take off with that. And, it's really great.
I think that happens for sure. That's not the purpose. The real purpose is that we have a community. You know, when you're in the seminar business like I am, and you're out on the road leading seminars and doing workshops and consulting corporations and working with CEOs, and you're on a stage and you're in a hotel room and you're by yourself and maybe you have 100 or 200 or even more people come to your seminars and you're the star and you're the person that's teaching, well, you still are very alone because you go home by yourself. You're in a foreign country or you're in another city. You're not at home. So when you're on the road a lot like that, and a lot of these kinds of people are because they're out teaching, what happens is you really want a community where you can have fun together and learn from each other and explore. And it's not just brainstorming and picking up good ideas. It's really an association where you can have friends and colleagues around you and enjoy each other and have dinners together and feel like you're part of something.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I remember an organization that I belonged to up in Michigan. We would have, like, monthly meetings. It was just in the local area. But it really helped. I mean, yours was on a much larger scale, but it really helped to be with people of the same mind. They all had the same – sometimes we just sit and talk about family, but it made you feel really good because you were a part of something. And so yours, because it's – I mean, it's really so much bigger, but I can imagine what it's like for everybody. They probably look forward to it very much because you get to see old friends.
Do. Yeah.
You know, and I'll see you for dinner. Okay, you know, and it's you get to know them. You get to know their families. It's like, and sometimes it's like you've known them for years, which is really kind of neat, I think.
Absolutely.
Tell me something, though. When you were super young, how did you start in this? Did you start writing? Yeah, I always ask my guests that because we all start someplace. Like when we're a teenager, I have had some musicians, and they started playing when they were 12 years old. And, you know, I've had some pretty famous ones on, and I always ask them, how did you get into this? What did Marsha do that started her on this path? Because everybody goes on a path. You're all taking a path, and you're still on it very successfully. And I would like to know what gave you the idea to do something like, not like this, of course, not seminars, but you started someplace, and how did you do it? What did you do? Did you just get an idea? Well, I think I want to write a book, I want to do this, I want to do that, but we all started someplace, so I'd like to know where you started.
Okay. Well, when I was a young girl, my aunt was, I was very young, in my teens, actually, probably around 17, my aunt was a clairvoyant healer and an esoteric astrologist. She was like a shaman. And she wasn't really my aunt. She was a distant cousin. And when I first met her, I just loved her, and I wanted to learn everything that she had to teach. And she taught me everything about metaphysics. I was one of her interns. And she taught me all the philosophies of the great masters. And she taught me all the great religions.
Oh, awesome.
And she taught me how to heal. And she taught me about chakras and energy and how the emotions worked and how your mind worked. And it was just an amazing experience. And so by the time I was 20, I already had this knowledge of coming from my own inner power. And I already had an understanding of who I was and why I was here. And it was really to wake people up and to help them and along their path of knowing who they were. So it was a natural kind of coincidence that I met Werner, because I met him when at that age also, when I was just 20 or 21. And I just knew by watching him give his very I was there when he gave his very first guest seminar to talk about the first training he was going to lead. And I could see that it was going to be something that was really incredibly transformational for the whole planet and for humanity. And so I went to him and I said, I'm here. I want to work with you. And so I spent the next 10 years being trained by him, working with him. So my first two great mentors were my aunt Gladys and Werner Erhard. And so from the time I was 17 till the time I was around 30, 32 or so, I had two of the most amazing mentors of all time. And by that time, I was on my path. And once I left Est, you know, I was very well known. I was very famous. I ran in Est, which later became Landmark. I was in charge of all of the marketing, all of the PR, all of the sales. I trained all the trainers. I trained all the seminar leaders and the guest seminar leaders. I created the guest seminar leaders program. I filled all of the events. I produced all of the events. My division was called the Communication Registration Division, so I handled all the enrollment and all the registration. I had 5,000 people working for me all over the country, and I opened up the new centers, and so people knew who I was, and they knew what I could do, and I was trained directly by Werner. And
that's right.
So when I left Est, people came to me and wanted me to come into their organizations, do the same for them. So then I was asked by Tony Robbins, for example, in the early 80s to come in and consult him. I took my staff there to Del Mar and helped him run his organization, really managed it for 2 years, helped him go national, helped him launch his first book, trained his salespeople, did all of the connections for him to handle his finances and get his offshore accounts set up. I probably saved him $100 million over the years with the stuff that we brought in and created for him. And every other human potential leader who had any kind of organizations came and asked me to do the same thing. John Hanley, who was the head of LifeSpring, asked me to come and consult him and his organization. That's how I met Jack Canfield, of course, and I started doing seminars with him. And corporations at the same time started really seeing how I could train people, and, you know, they're interested in sales and they're interested in communication, so they would bring me in. So I started doing big corporate accounts and training executives at Intercontinental. I'm working on a contract right now with Hard Rock Hotels International, training all their senior executives all over the world. So it was one of those things that was just meant to be. When I was in college, I studied drama and I studied communication and I studied business. And so it's kind of a combination of all of those kinds of things that I loved. And I've always been a person on a stage. I've always been the president of the girls' club or the most voted most popular, or you know, I was the, all of that. So I was the pep club president. I was, you know, a straight A student. I was on the honor roll. So for me, how I look at it is, this is something that has been meant for me to do my whole entire life. And it was a flow, and that I was in flow. When you say I have a beautiful smile and I kind of light up when you look at my pictures, it's a light that comes from inside of me and is expressed, and people feel it and see it. And that's been so my whole life since I'm a baby.
Well, if they go to your site, they'll see exactly what we're talking about. And see, that's why I wanted to know how you started, because everybody starts somewhere. I mean, and to put them on the path where they're supposed to be, and yours really revved up. I mean, it was from this to this to this. You probably never stopped.
I never stopped.
And
you know
you're
what,
not gonna stop.
Natalie, I have to say that, you know, I have my ups and downs just like everybody else does, and I have learned just like every human being does through experience about love, about heartbreak, about pain, about loss, about betrayal, and all of those. I mean, you know, I lost millions of dollars when I was creating a media company in 2008. Everybody lost everything, and I did too.
That was a tough time. Yep.
Yeah, it was a very tough time. But my point is, it's true. I started and it's revved up and it's slowed and everything has been perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want people to think that I don't experience pain or loneliness or upset. I do. I just look at it differently than most people. I look at it as if this is something that is meant for me to consider as a gift, whatever experience I'm in, and that there's some deeper lesson here. And I watch myself, and I look to see, and I take responsibility for choosing how I'm going to respond to whatever's happening. So that's the difference. It's not the difference that I don't have those experiences, but how I choose to respond to the experiences seems to be different. And that's been so for me since I'm a young girl, because I've been trained, and I had this remarkable experience of having my aunt teach me the values of life and what, you know, spirituality really was and who I really was and the great power that I have and the capacity to create. And then I had Werner, that was just the most remarkable instructor in the world, to teach me about responsibility.
The door opened,
and power.
Marcia, and you went through. You just went through, and then there was another one and another one. Yeah, you had some things that you had to step back from. But we all have to step back, because there's going to be, I always tell people that I talk to, you know, there's going to be things come your way. Just at least take a peek at it, look at it, see if you want to do it. If it doesn't appeal to you, you know, listen to your inner self. But it's these doors that keep opening. Yours was like you were on this path of, just sounds like wonderment to me.
Yeah,
it really. I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, God, my life was nothing like hers. But then again, people that are listening, you have to understand, you are one in I don't know how many. And I have to tell you this. I'm so honored that you chose to come on the show.
Thank you.
Well, because you are so well known. And I'm not saying I'm a nobody, but really I'm not famous at all. Maybe somewhere on the internet I am, if you type my name in. But anyways, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I just feel like you're so special when you talk. I mean, you're not like, you know, like here I am, I'm the most perfect one, I did all of this and this and this. No, it was not that easy for you. But the doors opened and you were smart enough because of your training from your aunt. And you had that, she laid the groundwork for you. She showed,
she
helped to develop that part of you so that you could be open to these doors opening. And you weren't afraid.
I totally agree. Yes.
You weren't afraid at all. I mean, you had a mentor that people would die to have had as a mentor. And you just kept going on and on and on. And so you had some bad times. Everybody's saying, well, she had some bad times too. 2008 was tough around here too, I'm going to tell you. in South Carolina, it hit the construction. Everything died. Everybody lost everything. Everybody.
That's right.
And it was, so people listening are saying, well, okay, yeah, we weren't the only ones. No, it affected everybody. It affects everybody. And they have to understand that. And so you do a lot of traveling. Are you doing a lot of seminars? I know you have something coming up in March. I already saw that, and I will tell everybody about that one.
I have a great seminar coming up in March. It's in Toronto.
Yes.
It's March 22nd through the 24th. And people are always afraid of selling. And I have a different take on what selling is, because selling is everything. That's all you're ever doing is selling. But the way that people sell is as if it's manipulation. And I teach people how to enroll, how to inspire, how to sell without selling. In other words, how to get someone else to be able to commit to what you're committed to, how to enroll a person. and how to do that in an elegant way and in a fun way. And it's not a lie. It's not cheesy. It's not snake oil. It's not any of that. And I teach people
right.
how to communicate in a way that they're inspiring. And when you inspire people, they want to do what you're doing, and especially if you're doing something that's worthwhile. So this whole seminar is going to be about communication and connection and speaking. One of the things I love to do more than anything else is make people into great speakers. And I can do it because I teach speaking from the inside out.
Gee, I need your
out.
Training. Because, you know, I was telling you about what I'm doing in the fall, and these guys said, oh,
that's
no,
right.
you can be on stage.
Right.
I said, oh, no, I will be at the back of the room.
No,
I love,
no, you should
I
come
love
and
doing
do the seminar.
The
it's going to be great fun.
You know,
oh my gosh.
I love doing things on the side. I like to be the background person. I know where I'm best at. I'm a people person, yes, but I don't need to be right up in front where everybody's looking at me. And they were laughing. They said, well, we're going to at least thank you. And I said, good, you can say, and Natalie back there, she's the one that did this. This. I said, that's fine with me. And I said, and then I'll go to the other side where the exhibitors are going to be so nobody can see me. No, I'm going to, I will, I'd love to mingle, you know what I'm saying? But I don't like to be center stage. And I don't know what that means. And I don't know why, but look at you. I mean, look what you, but you had training, remember, at that moment in time that kind of, did it throw you out into speaking? I mean, were you ever nervous being up in front of people? I mean, did that make you nervous?
Oh,
ever?
And sure, and I'm still nervous. It's not that we don't experience the nervousness, but I always say to people that it keeps you awake. It's not that. It's what happened was a beautiful thing because I learned to speak really in large groups with Werner. And when I first started, we did seminars, and we did them in a hotel, but we did the guest seminars in Hanukkah's apartment. Hanukkah was one of the other women I work with. There was Hanukkah and Laurel and Elaine and myself and Sheila. And we were the first people that Werner used to enroll people and to produce the events, and he would do the training. And we would go to Hanukkah's apartment after the graduates graduated. There was 20 graduates, and we would do the seminars on her living room in a circle on the floor. And Werner would sit on the floor with us, and he would teach us the next thing. And we could bring guests. And the guests would come, and then either Laurel or Hanukkah or myself would lead the guest seminar. And we would take the guests into the bedroom, and we would sit on the dresser, whoever was leading the seminar, and the guests would sit on the bed. And there was maybe two or three guests or five or six as it grew. And then we went to hotel rooms, and we did the seminars there and the guest seminars there. And then we grew to auditoriums. So I went from talking in front of three people or five people to small little guest seminars talking to maybe 15 or 20, and then pretty soon I was talking to 50 people, and then one day right. Werner said I was going to lead the special guest seminar, and there was 2,500 people, and I remember I did more than gulp. I said, Werner, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. There's
oh my
no
God.
Way
no, no,
I, can't
I can't
do it.
This.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I said, no, 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 no. And I remember what he said to me. He says, now, Marcia, he says, you just go up and you turn around when you're up on stage and you look right at those graduates and those people in the audience and you remember how much you love them and everything will be okay. And it just flows through me. I'm really, really able to communicate and connect with people. And when I'm on a stage, it's like it's one-on-one. It doesn't matter how many thousands of people. And I love them. And I know that they can see it and feel it. And I just share what's in my heart. And what's usually in my heart is, I want you to do this because it'll be good for you. I tell them what the
right,
next program
right.
is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you do remember your first times, like that time when you had to do for 2,500, and then I'm assuming it just got to be bigger and bigger groups, or probably it would cut back down to smaller ones, and then you go way up. I mean, did it just keep getting bigger and bigger audiences for you? Is that what happened?
Well, it was different kinds of events. So if it was a special guest seminar, or now I do seminars, and if I'm consulting for a company, there could be 300 people. So when I worked as a consultant and a trainer for McCain Foods, which is a wonderful company based in Canada and has operations all over the world, and their CEO had me train all of their top 2,500 executives around the world. So we did it in 10 or 12 seminars of around 250 apiece. So there'd be 250 in an event like that. In the event I'm doing in March in Toronto, there'll be about 30 people. And I love that size, because if I have 30 people for 3 days, their lives will change. They will come in as one person and go out as another. And their skills, they will be like a rocket launch in terms of what they're able to do after they leave my seminar. And especially in speaking. Speaking, I make everybody get up on the stage and do a little talk, and then I'll work with them and I'll show them how to be great in front of an audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I pull out
and
their...
And not be intimidated. Yes. Yeah, that's what people
not
need,
be
really. They
but
really
more than
stuff.
Not be tricksters either, to really pull out their authenticity and to be able to connect with somebody else and to have it flow and have it be easy and have it be fun and not be scared. So, you know, 3 days with me is really fun. That's what I always tell people.
Well, it has to be. I mean, look at our talk already. I mean they're going to have all this time with you. And I mean, if I did something like this with you, because you're genuine, I mean, yeah, I'd get up there and I'd say, well, you know, this is not going to go very good the first time. However, but I can talk. But you know, I can remember even in school, I would have to do this oral book report, and I hated it. But I read so well, and I was advanced, and so finally, I mean, the teacher knew it, bless her heart, she finally called me up to her desk, and she said, you know what, she said, would you be more comfortable if you just told me about the book? I thought, oh, thank you, because there were probably 30 kids in the class, and I was just mortified. I mean, because you start to lose everything. I mean, I knew the story, I knew what I read, but it was getting it out to them, to give them the information. We all read different books, so it was supposed to be something really great. And I, from that point on, I just always went to her desk and did an oral report, and she gave me these books to read that were so advanced. But I think she loved it as much as I did, because she saw something in me that I probably was really good at, not facing anybody, like on the phone. Or, I mean, I'm really good at talking to people I don't know. But being up there, it would be tough. It would be tough for me. I could see you dragging me up there. Come on, Natalie, you can do this.
What happens in my seminars, Natalie, is people wake up, because the way I talk with them, it's not like I talk to coax them into something. The way I talk is I have them see a different way of looking at life. And what happens is their mindset changes. Their perspective in life changes, who they are at a deep level changes, and then that changes everything. And what's really interesting about teaching speaking, and public speaking especially, is the greatest art of communication is not speaking, it's listening. And all results are a function of what's heard, not what's said. And I teach people how to listen very generously. I call it generous listening, where they're present and they're interested and they actually are listening at a deep level, not just hearing words, but they're listening to where people are coming from and what their assumptions are. And when you know the assumptions that a person has, you can actually predict their future. And everybody has an assumption of how it all works. And if you understand language, and that's the other thing I teach, is I teach people to listen to what's actually being said. Because language happens in two ways. There's what's said, and then there's what's not said that has to be so in order for you to say what was said. In other words, there's always the context of language is an assumption. You can't say certain things if you have certain assumptions. For example, you know, when Columbus decided to go and discover America, and he took his team down to the boat, the people in that age didn't come down to the boat and say, bon voyage, have a great trip, and here's some champagne. They couldn't say that because the assumption at that time was that the world was flat and it had a big drop-off. And at the edge of the drop-off, at the very, very down, way down, was a huge monster that ate you. So the only thing within that kind of assumption that people were living in that they could say was, don't go, don't go. Whereas now we go down to the boat and we say, bon voyage. So language is something that comes after the assumption. The paradigm you live within actually exists as the assumptions in the background. And language comes from that. So if I listen very carefully to people, and I do, I really listen to what people say. And I don't talk as if talk is cheap, because I know language creates reality. You're living now in what you spoke last year. So when you're in my seminar and I speak to you, it's not that I say, come on, you can do it, you can do it. It's not that. It's that I speak to you in a way that you go, what? What? Oh, I never thought of it like that. What? What? Oh, my God.
Right.
Oh,
yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yes, and people wake up, and it's dynamic and fun and extraordinary and earth-shattering. It's amazing. It really is. It really is.
Well, I'm sure they all are. And so now, okay, you do this in March. Now, you have anything coming? I'm sure you have something coming up after that. But this is a big one. I mean, to me, I saw this right away, and I thought, oh, learn to coach, speak, and facilitate with power. Yes. And sometimes, too, don't you notice if there's a group of people, and they get to know each other a little bit, like maybe not the beginning of it all, but, you know, maybe if after a lunch break or whatever in the afternoon, pretty soon they start. In a way, they don't even know it, but they're helping each other. They have this unspoken word, and you know, you're talking. You say, "Oh God, I don't like talking in front of people." Oh yeah, you can do it, and then you get to know them, and that's a way of teaching somebody. I'm assuming to be able to do something that they're not comfortable with is because really these are just people, and look at you, spent the whole day with them already.
What happens with me when you're with me, you start to learn that you want to be uncomfortable. See, if you listen to people speak, they will say things like, oh, I'm not comfortable with that. Oh, I'm sorry to make you so uncomfortable. Oh, that would make me uncomfortable. I don't want to do that. The minute I hear that something will make you uncomfortable, I do more of that for you. Because I know the only place you learn is in uncomfortableness. If you're
comfort,
you don't learn anything. You just stay the same.
No. It's just like learning anything. I mean, if you learn anything, I remember learning from a CPA how to do my bookkeeping on QuickBooks. And
oh, you did?
I thought, oh my God, he was my neighbor, and I wanted to learn because I had a business that I was running and I couldn't pay him to do it. So you know what he did? Because he lived across the street, he would come over periodically, and he'd teach me something different. And I'd sit there, and I'd say, well, I don't know how to do that, you know. And later on, I sent him my work last year, and he gave me an A. He says, I can't believe you did all this. You're so wonderful.
Oh,
and that was the best compliment.
Great.
But he told me, he said, you know why you learned? It's because you asked questions. And you told me, I don't know how to do that, Vince. How do I do that? And he said, my little antenna went up, and I thought, she really wants to learn this, or she would sit there and be quiet. And yeah, that's how I learned how to do QuickBooks was with him. And
that's beautiful.
So, and that's like a feather in my cap when you have somebody who's, and he's in the firm now, and he's big time, and yeah, I knew him when he was a little boy, and he was teaching me all this stuff, of course, after he got his license, you know, and then he became a CPA, and he didn't pass the test the first time. He was so embarrassed. And I remember him coming over, and I just told him, I said, just think now, you're going to know what you can't do and what you can do and what you need to do. And I said, you're going to pass. You'll see. I think you get three times to do it, and then you got to wait or whatever it is. And he passed, and we always laugh about that. He said, I remember your little talk to me. And I was not into math at all. But he heard something with what I said, you know. And,
yeah, of course.
And, but that's how I learned. And now they do they probably ask a lot of questions. Do they ask questions? I mean, so it's more like a is it more like a classroom kind of situation? And they're sitting there and they're listening to you on the, you know, in the front.
Well, when I do seminars like the one I'm doing in Toronto, what happens is it's a combination of I will be talking and you'll listen, and it's in theater style, so you're sitting in chairs, and I'm on a little bit of a stage, and I have a flip chart, and I will talk about certain things that maybe you don't know about. So I might talk about listening and what listening really is, or I there are many things that I talk about. And then that piece, you can ask questions in, of course. It's a discussion back and forth. But then there's also exercises. So I'll put you in small groups, groups of two, groups of three, groups of five. And you'll do exercises that will allow you to practice what I just taught you. So you practice it too. You do it yourself. You see how it works. And then I'll do some closed eye exercises and visualizations and meditations. And then there's sharing. People like to share, and so we have sharing sessions. And there's questions and answers. And it's a combination of that over the 3 days. All of that happens on every day until the end, when it all comes together and you just see differently, you listen differently, you understand the world differently. You're just a different person with a different mindset and a different perspective and a different perception. And you become more conscious. And when you go out into the world, you are more aware of your behaviors, of your patterns, of your thoughts, of your concerns. But in a way, instead of being at the effect of them, you're actually noticing them, and you're operating from a different kind of bigger place of who you are, from your own inner power. And that's what I do, is I put people in touch with their own personal power. I reconnect them to who they really are.
I'm sure they're all wonderful. I mean, I can hear you, and you know, you'd be great to listen to because you have that voice. And
oh, thank
look
you.
Look at all the experience. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm talking like as if I was in a seminar with you. I mean, it would be, how can they not listen to you? You have this about you that, first of all, you've got all the experience. You've done this. You've got so much background, it's unreal. I mean, if people go to your site, they're going to know all about you. And they're going to say, wow, look at this. Because that's
nice. Everybody go to MarshaMartin.com.
That's right.
That's
but,
right.
You know, see, like
yeah.
somebody that, you know, I'm not a teacher. I like to assist. I mean, I think we know our roles in life, don't you think? You're definitely a speaker. You definitely need to be out there in front, sharing everything that you've learned, and that's exactly what you're doing. And that takes
yeah.
a lot to do that. Some people learn, but they don't like to share. You do.
Yes.
And that's what
yes.
makes you so great. And I mean, I'm
oh,
not putting you on a pedestal, but I'm just letting the audience know, the listeners know that, you know, if you go to her seminar, listen to her. You're going to get this. You're going to get this, and you're going to come away with so much and feel so good and be able to, any fears that you thought you had when you went in, you're not going to have them. You'll be able to have a nice little group and speak to them, and you're not going to know who they are up front. You're not going to know them. And you're going to do really well, because the more experience you get, it's better for you. You got to get your feet wet, don't you think?
I do think. And I think what happens in the seminars that I lead and that the work that I do is people have it, when they come out, they have a different relationship to circumstances. They have a different relationship to time. They have a different relationship to self. They just have a different relationship of who they are in the universe and how the universe works. And it's extraordinary when you put somebody back in touch with who they really are and their personal power, what that it opens up the flow for, instead of obstacles, people start experiencing their life more as in a flow the way it should be, instead of resisting and fretting and obsessing and all of the things that we do when we're resisting. And they operate at a higher vibration. They're happier and they're more enthusiastic and their mood is up. And even if something around them happens, like if somebody's angry or if somebody's sad or if something terrible happens, they have a different ability to respond to that. They don't have to come down in their vibration. They don't have to get angry. They can choose to respond in a different way after you've spent some time with me, because that's the work that I do. I don't give you anything you don't have. I just remind you who you are. And in the conversation, people wake up. And so after 3 days, I remember a great friend and one of the people that works with me on many projects, Larry, a great graphic designer and web builder, and he came in. And he had heard a lot of things about my seminars and about me, and everybody told him, you're going to be a different person when you come out. You're going to be a different person when you come out. And on the last day, he stood up in the seminar, and he said to everybody, he said, I have to share this. He said, I was told I would be a different person when I came out, and I thought that was hogwash. I said to myself, oh, sure, what can change in 3 days? Maybe you know a little bit more, but you're certainly not going to be a different person. And then he said, and I'm standing here, and I'm a different person. And that's what happens. It's miraculous and wonderful, and I'm grateful to be the vehicle through which that happens for people.
And that's why you get, you see, that's where you're grateful. You see, that's the thing. And you're doing it for the world. I mean, I do a smaller part, but that's what I do. I help in a different way. And I think if
you
can do that, I really do. I help a lot of people. I have over 2,000 applications. People all want to work for me.
That's so beautiful.
Marcia, I would love to have all of them. I interview every one of them, but I have 53. I'm going to have 54. I have one coming back. And if they leave, they all want to come back. Because
of course they do.
It's like they're called a star. It's called family. It's a star's family, what I have.
Yeah.
Same thing with
yeah.
my magazine. I mean,
yeah.
in the beginning, now this was from 1999, I started the magazine. And I used to have to go after people for articles. I mean, can you have anything I can put in? You know, like I'm begging, you know. And
please give me
And I remember this one author said to me, you know, Natalie, and this was a long time ago. We talked on the phone. He wanted to talk to me. He said, I have to tell you something. I said, okay. And I'm thinking, oh, God, what is he going to tell me? He said, you know, how many people do you know have done what you've done? And I said, nobody. He said, see how special you are? He told me this. He said, see how special you are? I didn't say I wasn't. But I do what I do, and it's easy, so I don't think it's anything special, I suppose. But he told me that. He says, here I'm an author, pretty successful one, and I'm telling you, see, I don't know anybody but you that has done what you've done. And, of course, then I went on to launch, I launched my stars many years later, but I still had the name because that's only 7.5 years old. But my first site was Planet Stars, and I was doing stuff like that. So now what happens is people send me articles. I don't even know how I met Dear Tom. I don't know how I met this one. They find me, and I have some stuff for you. I have somebody that I'd love for you to interview. Okay, let me look at my book. And it doesn't matter who they are. I do them, you know. And I read about you, and I thought, oh, wow. I get to talk to her on the phone. You're joking. I was so excited, really. And, again, I have to thank you for coming in at such short notice. That was so wonderful of you to do that. Well, and, you know, I said to Tom, I said, well, you know, I don't know that I have enough information. He wrote me, and he said, don't worry, you two will talk up a storm. And
well,
I remember
I
doing
to
somebody
say
else
something
that,
to you. So I just want to say something about something, a couple things you've said, which is, I'm smaller, or I don't do as much, or I'm not, you know, that's, you've said that a couple times now when you're comparing
yep.
yourself to me. But Natalie, I'm with the author that told you the same thing, and I want you to know this about yourself, is you are exquisite, and you're doing
big things.
And it's just incredible what you're doing, and you have a radio show, and you have a magazine, and you have, that's so special, and you light people up, and you showcase people. You give them a chance to share themselves.
That's what I want to do.
That's huge.
Well, thank you. That's a great compliment. It really is. It makes me feel really good. Yeah. I mean,
I have other people.
I call them my champions. I have one lady who's listening right now. She's known me over 20 years, and she said, how many people have done what you've done? Look what you have done. She tells me this all the time.
Right.
She's probably laughing. Yeah. And I'll say, oh, but it's not that much. Oh, my God. She said, do you see me doing it? And she says, now, what are your competitors like? They're these big conglomerates. It's not one person. It's not Natalie. They don't have you. And I think it shows. I love what I do. I really, really do. I mean,
yes,
I love people. And I really do. And I just think that, and yeah, I just think that it's a wonderful thing to be able to bring people on the show and you know, allow them to tell about all the beautiful things that they do. And I get to meet them, and it's an important thing. It's an important hour with everybody. Yeah, I really feel that, but thank you for telling me that. That makes me feel really good because it's kind of like you are, you know, you've done an awful lot. I mean, you've been with a lot of beautiful people that
yeah,
most
I
of
have
us
had
only
a lot of adventures
read,
and very
yes,
unique
read about.
Experiences, and I'm so grateful for my life, for sure.
Yes. And that's another thing, you know, that I've been learning more and more is that you must be grateful. But you know what I'm afraid of is that if I start to say to myself, oh, wow, Natalie, look what you've got. Look what you've done. That maybe this ego is going to get really big. But you know what? It's not. It should have happened to me a long time ago. I am still open to everybody. I still love talking to people. I don't care if you've not even written a book, if you have a website. Yeah, you know, if you're a musician, it doesn't matter. If somebody, and I don't solicit who comes on my show, I get them from all the publicists. And
yes,
that's
I
another beautiful
do.
Thing. Oh, I do. Oh, my God, a lady gave me two today. I have two people that need to talk to you. Okay. But, you know, I mean, it's great for the person that's on the show, but it's great for me because it's not like another little feather in my cap that people can look at all the shows I've done. And in the beginning of my shows, Marcia, the first time on the radio, I didn't want to do it. They said, oh, you can do this. Oh, no, I can't do this. Well, gradually I slipped in, and I had a co-host then, and we would talk about all kinds of subjects that were spiritual, you know, angels and stick people and all kinds of things every week. And, you know, we became like sisters. Now, she died about a year ago, and it's been very hard for me. However, I didn't do the show for 3 months. Then I had this gentleman, the one that I'm going to do this event with, say to me, Natalie, you've got to get back on the radio. And I said, why? That's the first thing I said, why? Because you have to. He said, I'm telling you, you have to. And he interviewed me. I'm going to interview you. You just tell me where and when and where to call, and I'm going to interview you. Well, it was a little tough that first show, Marcia. I mean, because I kept thinking of my dear friend, and she worked for me too on the site, and it was painful for me. But I did it. You know, he said, take a minute now. I know this is a little hard on you, but the listeners are going to understand. It's the fact that you're doing it. And if they don't see that, then they don't need to listen to you for the rest of all your shows. And that got
very
me started again. And my feet got wet, and I've been going steady ever since.
That's great. That's beautiful.
And I love it. I really, really do.
Well, you're
and,
good
you
at
know,
it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, Tom knew. He said, but he sent me a motivational speaker. And I thought, oh, my God, how am I going to do this? You know, how? But you know what? This man, we were laughing on the air, like you and I kind of chuckling. And he said, Natalie, I've got to tell you something. He says, I've had a lot of interviews, but this has been far the best I've ever had. I said, oh, don't tell me that. He said, I'm telling you. He said, I want to come back and talk to you. We talked an hour and a half. And
oh,
I told
goodness.
Him on the air, I was so afraid to talk to you. He said, why? I said, well, because you know, you're a motivational speaker. And he said, He said, listen to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you could motivate anybody. Listen to your, you know, I don't like my voice, but he said, you can motivate anybody. You could convince somebody not to jump off a roof. That's what he told me. And I said, yeah, I probably could. So he said, see? And from then on, I think it did something for me, Marcia. And what you said to me, too, it just puts a little more frosting on things, you know, a little more. You've got this nice cake going here, and you've got to keep putting the frosting on it and frosting and more and
absolutely.
More and more, building the cake.
Yes.
And then
yes.
pretty soon, you know, I mean, I don't bring them on. It doesn't matter who calls in, and I have to talk to them. I can talk to anybody. But I've loved talking to
you. Well,
you
know, that's the
really
thing,
have.
Though, too, Natalie, is when a person gets in touch with themselves, which is what that person did for you by interviewing you,
mm-hmm.
is reminded you that you love the radio show, that you're good at the radio show, that you have a gift, that you know, when a person gets in touch with their own personal power and come from that place, rather than coming from a place of fear and doubt and not thinking that they're okay and listening to that little voice in the back of our heads, which isn't us. If that little voice was us, we wouldn't be listening. If we're listening, it can't be us. And that little voice can debate both sides of the argument. So obviously, it's not saying something that's real. It's just saying
right.
stuff that, you know, whatever's being said and people listen to it. Well, when you get in touch with who you really are and you remember that centerpiece of yourself and where you're authentic
yeah.
and where you're passionate, it all works out. It all works out.
Well, it was Tom's client. I got a frog in my throat. It was Tom's client, and he said to me, I've listened to your shows. You'll do great. Just do it. That's what he said to me. That's all he
That's
wrote
right,
in his
just
email.
Do it.
Just do it. So, you know, I mean, that was more encouragement, and, I mean, I just love it. I'm so grateful you came on the show, and
so
I wish
much
you much success.
Me.
I don't have to wish you anything. You're successful already. You really are.
It's been a pleasure being with you, and
I'm
grateful that you
call.
Were.
You can keep talking while I choke here. No.
Yeah, don't choke on us. Don't go. Don't leave mm-hmm. us right here on the radio show.
No, it happens.
I see.
I get this. You know,
well,
but
I can say that I do hope people will check my website, MarciaMartin.com.
Yes.
It's MarciaMartin, and my programs are up there and. I do corporate training and consulting, so a lot of senior executives and CEOs ask me to come in and train their executive teams, and I can do 2 hours, 4 hours, 1 day, 2 days, 3 day retreats, year-long programs. I'm doing, like I said, a contract right now with Hard Rock Hotels International, and I'm working with all their senior corporate executives in the area of communication and public speaking and leadership, and I'll start going around to the hotels and working with their senior executive teams. I think that there's so much that's available that people might enjoy if they do go to the website. And I do executive coaching and life coaching. And my seminar in March 22nd through the 24th in Toronto is going to be incredible. So I would invite everybody
sure
to come.
You know, you when you mentioned it, you just got so excited with your voice. I picked up on that right away. Oh, yeah,
oh,
I'm doing
okay.
one in March. I got it right away with you. See, because voices are important to me. And
yes,
they've always
absolutely.
Been important to me. You know, so, but maybe one day we'll have you on again. But I know you're going to do great. And
Thank you. You've
had such an extraordinary life. You have.
Yes.
And I'm sure it's going to keep going, and I'm going to be reading about you, and Tom's going to be saying, oh, yeah, and she's doing this now, you know. But thank you again for coming, and like I said, on such short notice, I really appreciate you. I mean, you didn't know me. You just went on what Tom said,
That's
you know,
true.
That, you know, and so you had faith in him, and he wouldn't send you to me if I couldn't do it. I mean, I have the greatest faith in him. I mean, he's just a wonderful man. There, I have a
yes,
few of them like that, a few publicists that just I ask, I get. Oh, hey, I need some
yeah.
people. Okay, now I'm filled in April, you know, and now we're going
be.
Into May. So that's what's fun about it is that everybody enjoys it, and they can talk about themselves because it's basically about you. I mean, I add some stuff about myself. if I can, to incorporate what I've done, but I don't, it's great. And thank you again, and you have a wonderful evening. And
thank you very
we'll
much,
talk again
and
soon.
You too.
Oh.
Wonderful.
And have a good evening. And I want to end the show like I always do, and you can hear this, Marcia. I always end my show with the same thing, and sometimes people say, why does she say that? I say it because I believe it, and that is believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight. Goodnight, Marcia. It was a pleasure talking to you and meeting you, and goodnight to anybody
pleasure.
That's listening. I loved it, and I'll see you next week, same time, same station. And with that, I'll say goodnight. Bye-bye.
Goodnight. Goodnight.